Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, heading into our last week of spring ball, it's been a good, productive spring session so far. We've got fairly physical padded practice today, no padded practice on Thursday, and then we culminate with the spring game on Saturday. Looking forward to getting back in the stadium with at least some fans. I think we're capped at 6,500 or 7,000 right there, right in that neighborhood. So it'll be good to get in front of fans again. Like I said, I haven't been in front of fans since, the season of 19. So it's been, like I said, a lot of good things have transpired this spring. A lot of players have gotten much better, which is the objective. I mean, you would hope that would happen, and it did. We have identified some strengths of the team and things that need to continue to be addressed. So that's where we're at, and we're going to make the most of these last three, and the spring game. Hopefully, everyone gets a good flavor of what we're all about when you're able to watch the spring game on Saturday. Questions?
Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning.
Have you already gone through guys that you're going to hold out during the spring game?
Yes. Preliminarily, we still haven't finalized that, and we'll see what happens in practice today and Thursday. Thing, you know, somebody tweaks an ankle or something, that could change what our thought process is. But we've already got a start on that, and we don't have anything to announce today because, like I said, it's not finalized, and that will be finalized by Thursday, and we'll proceed from there.
And then to follow up on that, you've already said Bernard's the number one running back. Has Chris Curry or T.J. Pledger made any progress towards getting that number one spot, or maybe even made a push for that number two spot?
They have definitely closed the gap. Mackay has continued to perform exceptionally well this spring, though, and so he's still the number one tailback. But both Chris and T.J. have shown a lot of progress. And really, what they needed to do was feel comfortable with their assignments and their role in the offense, and they're starting to do that now and really settle in, and they're going to be contributors as well. So we'll see what happens through fall camp, whether or not we're going to have one tailback get the majority of the reps or by committee. We'll see what happens, and that it's a good problem to have right now. We got those three guys that we think are all very capable.
Hey, Kyle. Good morning.
Good morning, Josh.
Kind of a bigger picture question. It sounds like the dead period is finally going to end on June 1st. Assuming that does happen, do you have any inclination of what the calendar or what the rules might look like as you jump back in on June 1st?
What we're anticipating is, just as you mentioned, June 1st, things opening back up. We don't anticipate that being a contact period, more of a evaluation period a quiet period where we can have athletes visit our campus, either officially or unofficially, but we don't anticipate being able to go out and visit other campuses and do any off-campus recruiting. I know the meetings are tomorrow and Thursday, and that's supposed to be addressed. You don't always get all the answers you want in these meetings. Sometimes they delay those answers, but we're anticipating to know a lot more after the meetings culminate on Thursday. And the best guess is, like I said, on June 1, we'll go to that period where we can have players back on campus for visits. And there'll probably be another dead period kick in July sometime. And then hopefully, the evaluation period will begin in September again, where we can go out and watch high school games and that type of thing. But to be determined, but that's my best guess as to how it's going to unfold.
Just to follow that up, obviously things have been unorthodox for a year. Kids haven't been on campus. You guys have been doing Zoom calls and things of that nature. Is there any element of what you've done for the last year that you would be happy to maybe carry into normal times?
Absolutely. And that would start with being able to talk to juniors on the telephone. Whereas before, you only had a one call limitation during the spring ball or the spring recruiting window. We've been able to have several Zoom calls and contacts with the class of 22 players. And that's something that I hope the NCAA lets us hang on to, because I think it's been a good thing. And particularly with the early signing date, it lets you get to know these players better and develop a relationship with them. And so hopefully that is here to stay. But of course, you know, it's up to them. We'll find out next few days, hopefully.
Morning, Kyle.
Morning.
So we know who your top three wide receivers are, at least from a production standpoint throughout their career. Over this month that you've had practice, has a number four or number five or a hierarchy behind Enos, Covey, and Dixon evolved?
Yeah, Devon Vele would be in the number four slot right now. Money Parks has done some good things, battling for that number five spot. We've had some other receivers. Kane Savage, who we moved from corner, has showed some promise. But right now, there's those four are clearly at the top, the three you mentioned, plus Devon Vele. And like I've said for a while now, we plan on adding at least one more receiver via the portal. And that will happen, in the next couple months, ideally. And so that player can be on campus here for the June workouts. So it's a work in progress, that position group. But they've done a nice job this spring, and they've developed. But we still think that we need to add, like I said, a receiver or two to that group when all is said and done.
Yeah, Kyle, you kind of touched on this, talking about the receivers, obviously, in the offseason. But after this week, what is the primary objective for your team? Like, what are you hoping them to kind of accomplish in the summer, / what are you hoping to accomplish as a coaching staff?
Okay, well, first of all, they have a lot of downtime, the NCAA mandates what they call discretionary weeks, where you have to have no football activities, no organized football activities for them. And so we expect once we're done with spring ball, we'll have exit interviews next week. And then they're really on their own, so to speak, until June 1, when this summer player development starts, Tuesday, June 1. So what we expect between when spring ball is finished in that period is for them to work out on their own and stay in shape and not get out of shape. So we got to get them back in shape when they get back. We need to be able to hit the ground running on June 1st with a team that's taking care of themselves and ready to train and get after it. And that period is a 9-week period, the summer development. You have 9 weeks to work out 8 weeks. You have to give them 1 week off in that time frame per NCAA rules. And then we'll roll right into fall camp. And then that's the prelude into the season. So that maps out the next, three or four months until fall camp starts in August.
Following up on that real quick, but how, in your coaching tenure, how often do guys go into this summer break and you see a noticeable difference when you come into fall? Is it pretty common, or is that something that it really takes a different type of player, or is there much of a difference when you enter into fall?
It's very, very common to see some big changes physically, particularly in the younger players that haven't developed like some of your older guys. It's not necessarily, a fourth year guy that's becoming a fifth year guy, doesn't have as much room to develop as some of those young freshmen that are in your program. And so we expect to see a lot of progress, particularly from the younger guys, and adding weight and strength and getting faster. And that's part of the process. I mean, you got to continually trying to get better and trying to get your body ready for a Division I football season.
Where's your depth at cornerback now that you have Kane Savage over at corner or over at wideout? How do you feel about the depth at corner?
We feel good about it. We've got Clark Phillips and JT Broughton, who are starters on the outside right now. Malone Mataele is the nickel, scheduled to be the nickel. Unless somebody beats those guys out, that's how we're going to the fall. Fabian Marks is doing a nice job on the outside. He'd probably be the first guy in at this point in time. We've also got Lecarrier plus Johnson, who has really had a good spring and starting to come of age. Kenzel Lawler on the outside as well. Aaron Lowe backs up Malone Mataele at the nickel spot. And then Zamaya Vaughn, who we moved from safety to corner, has transitioned very well to that position. And so we feel like we're going to be in pretty good shape. And we'll add another player or two this summer. And that group will be, I think we have scheduled to have 10 scholarship corners in the program by fall.